You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud. I'm a psychic medium and paranormal investigator. And tonight, well, let's put it this way. Start from the very beginning. It's Tuesday, and it's Tuesday evening. And basically, it's 8 p.m. on the Pacific Standard, and right now it'd be 10 o'clock Central, Eastern, it'd be 11 o'clock. Those of you who are staying up to listen to my beautiful, wonderful voice, I'm talking to you from the other side of the world. Some of you are not. I can welcome everyone from all over the world because it is absolutely fabulous to get phone calls from people from all across the world. Especially, I got last week. I had a caller calling in from Hong Kong. I mean, look, BBS Radio is doing pretty good. Our show is being picked up quite well. I got people picking me up. Actually, I got email from people calling me in from South Africa, picking us up. In even a sideband radio on the AM station in that part of the world, they get email back saying, we're listening to your show. It thinks it's absolutely fabulous. You should see the ghosts in our country. And I went, okay, this is going to be really good. So let you know out there, we are doing quite well. The show is doing very well. I also want to also acknowledge the other affiliates. We have Ghost Radio, who actually are up in Australia, are down under. And I'd like to thank them for listening in because they're the ones that are streaming us across that other side. Also, we have Don't Go Ed Began, which actually up in the Netherlands are picking us up as well. So the thing is that we have a lot of people carrying us over, and they're listening to our show, and they know very well what we have. The greatest interest of all things is the paranormal. Everybody wants to always find out what's going on in the other side of the world. And so tonight, I've got a fabulous guest who actually I've asked to return back on my show. Well, actually, I've had been on his show for the last 2.5 to 3 years. He did shut his radio station down for about 6 months or so. And then he made the decision to have to come back because, not because he felt sad or lonely, because we missed him. So I decided to say, you know what, we need Dr. Jimmy back. And I protested, and I wanted this to happen. And we prayed so hard, and guess what? We got him back. So without no further ado, we have Dr. Jimmy from the APSR radio up in Alabama. That's the Alabama Paraspiritual Research. And this man is one of the most phenomenal investigators I've ever come across, who worked with. I haven't been on site with him, but he's invited me out to come out. And one of these days, I'm going to cross over that border. I'm going to visit Jimmy. We're going to sit down and have steak. And we're going to raise the dead with a cow. So anyways, Jimmy, are you there?
I'm here. We're going to build a big bonfire.
I mean, here's a question for you, bud. You know, when you got a cow that dies, does it haunt you?
I hadn't had one yet.
I'm sure that. I mean, it doesn't say boo, it says moo.
Yeah, like this is moo.
So what's going on in your side of the world, my friend?
Oh, God, everything, man, everything. Trying to get the radio network going and bringing us back on the air. Like you said, we kept getting emails and messages through IM. One of my producers was getting them and saying, hey, you know, we got to come back on the air because people were missing you.
And I was like, we missed your sexy voice.
I know it.
Actually, it's Heather's, too, we miss. We're hoping that we can get Heather back with you.
Well, she's going to eventually come back. She's just concentrating on things that she's got to get done. Working on a TV show. And that's our main goal.
That's a big job.
That we took off.
This is bigger than radio.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, it's always been, you know, I've talked many times over the last 3 years. And that's always been one of my goals and objectives was to have a television show.
Yeah.
So I figured, well, you know, if I don't get picked up by a cable network, well, I'll just bring it to the people. And with the way technology is going, I think internet TV is gonna get getting there. It's growing. It's becoming a possibility for people to be able to do. And so we're gonna try that route first. And we've been invited on some other filming adventures, and we're gonna see what goes with that. That's gonna happen later on in the probably later on in the year, early part of next year.
Oh, good.
A lot of things going on. Many
so. Now, I want to also welcome those people also that are in our chat room, and we also have also people coming in. Basically, we have a chat room under BBS Radio. We also got the chat room Pal Talk listening in to our show. I'd like to welcome you all for listening in. Those of you out there who want to have any questions you want to ask Jimmy, please ask us. Those who want to call in and ask us questions, toll-free numbers are in the U.S. 877-876-5227. That's toll-free, guys. 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. It's 888-815-9756. Those international callers calling in, it's 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I've got a big question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got, in the area where I live, we have a group of people call themselves the BC paranormal investigators. Now, you know me well enough as a medium, well enough that if there's anything that I try to do my best to, I guess you'd say, acknowledge what spirits in the room. Do you ever come across people, or even yourself, that do you ever trust all the mediums that work with you, worked as a medium in your work in the paranormal field?
Well, you know, yeah, that's a good question. Do I trust every medium that says they're a medium? No, I don't. You know that for a fact. You and Scott Christensen, you know, I mean, it took y'all a while to get on my show.
Oh, yeah. We had to convince you to break your arm.
It took a while. And that's just because I don't trust everybody. I've always had that, I guess that part of me that says that's really skeptical when it comes to psychic and medium. Which, you know, somebody says, well, I thought psychic and medium were one and the same, but no, it's different. People can be kind of really psychic and can't see squat when it comes to the other side. They just get these intuitive guesstimates as far as things that's happened in the past, that's going to happen in the future, those kind of things. And you got to actually see dead people. Well, they may not just see them. They may not just see them. They may hear them. They may get different, modes of communication from the other side. I think you're actually able to see them. You actually see spirits.
Sometimes I actually see them walking through the walls. I mean, lately, well, since I got in the car accident, things have been actually happening to me more, that I'm more aware of it. And once in a while, they bug me at night and try to wake me up and try to get my attention. Like, you know, guys, leave me alone. Let me get... I want to sleep. But sometimes they won't let you alone. They, you know... Do they ever bother you when you're sleeping?
No. Well, yeah, actually, I've had them come into the room and nudge the bed or pounce on the bed, trying to wake us up. And it's like, I'm like, come on. Make it stop. Enough's enough. And we draw things in. I think sometimes things follow us or get attracted to us because, you know, we have gifts. And I don't by any means call myself a medium or psychic. I don't believe I'm that. I just have some God-given gifts that's not as strong as probably what yours are or Scott or others, but I do happen to be able to tune in every now and then. And I can see them and hear them, and they do try to get my attention quite often, and it happens a lot to us on the show.
Oh, yeah.
We've had many instances where they've come through, and they'd like to try to take the mic over. And
you think?
funny, you know. So I don't trust everybody. And now I have worked, I haven't physically worked, but I had worked with one psychic medium that didn't pan out too well. Big conflict. And a lot of that's because I didn't trust them. You know, it was a mess. I can't go into detail what happened, but
yeah.
It made me very gun-shy. Now, it would, you know, I've invited you down here, you know, hopefully we'll get to work together, you know, together, actually, side by side on some investigations in the future. I believe that's going to happen. I trust you, and you know, I would be feel a lot better if I was working with you or even working with Scott.
Yeah,
because I do trust you, and I've seen you work. I've listened to you. You get more validation than I've had others, because I've had many psychics on the show off and on throughout the last 4 years, and I always stick. You know, I've got three that I stick with, and you're one of those. You're one of my
friends. Yeah.
And you were a regular guest on the show, so. I think that does it say don't trust everybody that's out there that calls themselves a psychic medium. It's just like all the groups are out there. This phenomena, the paranormal phenomena itself has become a phenomenon with the interest that is peaking. It's still peaking. I thought it already peaked last year, but it hasn't. It's still on the uprise.
Yeah.
As far as the interest and things, I was watching a TV show before you called, when we recorded. I watched House. I love that show.
Which one is that one?
That's the one about the doctor. He's the crusty old doctor, has the team, and he gets only special cases, and it's pretty wild. Anyway, there's actually been, slowly but surely, they've been introducing, like, House's belief. He's him being a doctor. He doesn't believe in an afterlife, and they introduced near-death experiences in there tonight. Next week they're going to be having one of their patients is actually seeing dead people. Okay, that's the way they introduced it. She's actually seeing spirits, so she's a medium. So
okay.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of spoof they take on. And he actually tried to kill himself, you know, to have that 1 minute, 2 minute near-death experience, you know. He stuck a knife in the light socket because one of his patients did, because it was one of the best times that they had, you know, when they were in a car accident. He had a near-death experience, and, you know, he saw things. He said it was unbelievable, and the best he's ever felt in, you know, in his entire life. So it's bringing those aspects in it, you know. A lot of the TV shows are trying to introduce that. I've seen them over and over, because they know people are interested in it. So, of course, TV producers are trying to use that to their benefit, which is a wise thing, because people are really interested in it. They really, if they don't believe, they want to find out, they want to know. And I think that's why they listen to shows like yourself and mine, to see, is there something really beyond this life? Which I think we prove time and time again. I believe we prove that, you know, there is. There is something else, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What we're experiencing right now.
What about, you know, here, like, again, I was mentioning about the BC Paranormal Team. They were interviewed on TV here last year when they were doing a Halloween special. And they asked them one question, and one lady, whoever the host was, and she said, you ever heard of the show, the TV show, that or the movie they made called Amityville Horror?
Mm. Yeah.
What's your opinion on that? The house, the one that you know about.
Well, I know what, you know, of course, you know John Brappis.
Yeah.
John's a real good friend of mine. It was his aunt and uncle that actually one of the investigative teams that went in there. That whole story has always been a mess. It's from the get-go. They claimed that there was something demonic in that house, that there was something evil that resided in there. The man that lived in there, he killed his entire family, you know, he had murdered them. the tragedy from that. The Lutzes moved into the house and started experiencing the phenomena. Other people had experienced some things. I don't know, because, you know, I was such a young child whenever that was going on. I remember them talking about it. I remember when the movie came out. But, of course,
yeah.
Hollywood always sensationalizes on that type of phenomena, and, you know, you're going to get more than what really happened. You know what I'm saying? They're going to expand on it.
Because
what really happened. So I think it's possible. Yeah, I think that they experienced some things in there.
Yeah.
Without doing an investigation myself, who am I to say that, to say one way or the other? I can't.
Yeah.
I know the evidence that they presented, and I trust them as investigators. I trust Warren as investigators. I don't think they were, you know, putting a bunch of hype in it. I believe there were some things that were going on.
Yeah. But we trust John. We try and trust John Zaffis' work. Because you know him well enough and the work that he does.
Mm-hmm.
The BC Paranormal Investigators, when they were interviewed, and they said that the Amityville was actually a made-up story, and they said they saw the strawberry, or they said somebody said that it looked like strawberry jam, and they don't think this thing actually was real, it was fake. And I thought, you guys are blundering idiots. Before you voice an opinion, you better find out from the real people that did it first before you start judging when it's stayed on television.
At least read over the evidence, and, you know, you can't go off the movie. I mean, if you try to go off the movie, then, come on.
You know?
You can't.
Excellent. Now we're back. We got lost Jim and I. We're somehow faded out here. Jimmy, you there? Well, that's Jimmy. Jimmy, you there? Jimmy? Oh, we got squelched. Okay, well, in the meantime, while they're trying to get Jimmy back, we were talking actually about the Amityville Horror. Basically, talking about this house actually was taking place in the States. Jimmy actually lives up in the area. Not specific in the same location, but he lives close to it. He knows a lot of friends, people that he knows, that acquaintances. I work in a guy by the name of John Zaffis, who's worked out of that house. And Jimmy also knows other people that are there, and that have actually investigated the place. And basically, for example, the BC Paranormal Investigators made a statement on television a year ago, said that the Amityville did never exist. That actually was just a joke and it would never existed. So we're here to basically make the statement that it did happen and there was really activity there. So, Jimmy, are you there?
Can you hear me?
That's Jimmy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, you're so faint. What happened? I heard a zap and that was it. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I got you.
Okay.
Okay. Now I had a zap, and all of a sudden it was zing.
it's those phone gremlins, you know. They do that to us when we're on.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Every time you and I do the show, it happens all the time. You realize that?
We always have phone problems.
Yeah.
Seems like
we're consistently zapped.
We're talking about
the
Amityville. I believe is what you were asking the questions. Anyway, you can't just go off of what you see on TV. I think that's what I was saying before we lost the connection there. You've got to look at the hard facts, look at the investigation that they did, and base your opinion on that, not on Hollywood version. Be just like The Exorcist. You know, that was based on a true story, although it was changed. A lot of things were changed. It was, they threw all this horror stuff that would never happen in an exorcism, They use bits and pieces of the truth, and then they throw in their own version of what they want people to see and to scare them. I mean, that was the whole point of the movie. So you've got to look at the real evidence, I'm not saying that what we do isn't scary. I mean, there's some wild things happen. That be like, wow, how could that happen? Or, how could anybody, go through something like that? if it was to put, be put on a TV show or made into a TV movie or a Hollywood movie, it would be 20 times worse than what it actually happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can't go out there and make statements, you know, that something's not true without really examining the actual true evidence. I know there's, I saw something on TV, I guess about 3 or 4 months ago, where they were talking about the Amityville, okay? And they actually had the news crew that went out there, the reporter, and some of his crew that went into the house with the Warrens and the Lutzes, and they tried to do a seance-type situation.
Yeah.
And they were saying like they really never felt anything. They didn't really have anything happen. They didn't experience anything that they felt was paranormal to them. They said maybe one time there was some, they went upstairs, they could have been, you know, they felt it might have been a really strong cold spot, but they said it was wintertime when they did this, you know. You could tell because they've got sweaters and jackets on and stuff, so they contributed to that. But that's just one incident when they went in to do something. They don't take, you got to take into consideration the many hours that were put into actually doing the investigation of the home, and the things that the family experienced and what the investigators experienced.
I mean, you think about it, you can't just do it just a matter of a couple hours. You know, you got to be there pretty well from, say, 10, 11 o'clock at night to about 6, 7 in the morning, because you know yourself, the major part of the activity happens around midnight or so, up until about 6 a.m.
Right. Well,
and it depends on if the spirit wants to make the entrance at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ongoing investigation, and it's still an ongoing investigation. Been there 3 times, and each time we went, we've spent anywhere from 6 to 10 hours at the location.
Yeah.
If it hadn't have been such a great distance and the money factor, you know, as far as us being, you know, having to, you know, put us, you know, having to stay in a hotel or whatever, and a lot of that was coming out of our pocket, because the couple wasn't able to, you know, help us out with any of the with any travel expenses.
Yeah,
we could have stayed, you know, I'd have rather stayed there 2 or 3 days in a row. You know, tell them what kind of evidence, but just the amount of times that we went in short spurts like that, we came up with, you know, some pretty extraordinary phenomena. And that's going to be, we're going to have an episode on that on our Haunted South TV show on the internet.
Oh, cool.
We're going to show the some of the footage that the people haven't even seen yet. They're going to see it. I'm going to take it to them and let them see it, and we got to go and do another investigation and do a cleansing. We got to go do an exorcism. So, and this is actually a demonic case, and it's pretty wild. It's been ongoing for almost 3 years.
Well, if I can ask, what part of the state is this one taking place? I want to ask you what location, what part of the state?
Georgia.
Georgia. Wow. I mean, it's going to happen. Eh?
And it's in the
building. Is it really active there in Georgia? Like really highly active there?
It's a lot of. There's a lot of haunted activity there. It's in the northwest corner. That's where the Trail of Tears actually started. Remember in the mass movement of the Cherokee Indians? It actually began in that part of the country, and they went up through there, up through Georgia, through parts of the eastern corner of Alabama, up into Tennessee, and on around until they got to Oklahoma. And there was a lot of deaths. I mean, it was a big tragedy.
Is it mostly the war that took place there, besides just, you know,
some of the Civil War? Yeah, this particular area, there was actually three battles that took place there because of it's on the outskirts. It's up above Atlanta, so
okay.
You know, that was a big defense. You know, they were trying to head off Sherman from coming down, and so there were several battles up through there. Outside of the location that where we're investigating, they actually dug up. They were expanding a road. Okay,
yeah.
Just about a couple miles from home, Well, during the scraping and the digging and all, they actually uncovered a Civil War burial area. I guess it's like a mass grave, you know, because that's the way they sometimes they had to do it. They would just take them and throw them in, you know, in the trenches and cover them up. And so they produced this, and it's like, wow, and this whole area is haunted.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So things have been escalating at this location and some of the other areas. So we're going to go back up there, and it's going to be November when we go. We just haven't been able to get up there
now,
for various reasons.
Another place that I was mentioning, I was going to ask you about too, is have you ever done any prisons? Investigating a prison?
No, I have not been in a prison yet. It's kind of hard to get into any prison.
I mean, it's the ones that are shut down. Not the ones that are active where you just had a drink a night and pass out, but I'm talking place where you actually is abandoned or not used any longer.
Yeah, well, we have one location, but they condemned it. I don't know if they've actually tore it down yet or not. Most of the older prisons around in our area anyway have been long since destroyed, you know, tore down. Supposedly there's one that Jesse, who's been on the show with me, on your show with me.
Yeah.
He was actually trying to get that set up with a friend of his that works with the police department, the sheriff's department in this one county. And they were going to see if they could get us in there, but they were not sure because it was in such bad shape. They didn't know if they would allow us because of risk of us getting hurt, the hazards. So I don't know if they tore it down. We haven't been able to talk to the individual in a while. So I would like to, because they said that there was some activity in that place.
Yeah, I mean, prison. I mean, I've got one here that has never been touched yet. I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody where it is, but they made it to a restaurant. And I want to investigate this one because this is a maximum penitentiary that once existed where a lot of people that did life in prison and hung there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't exist anymore, but they turned it into a restaurant, which basically all the cells are now divided up, and that's where you put your table and you sit down and you're supposed to have family dinners.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. That would be a cool investigation. You know, I don't know of any place here... And I can't say that there's not, but any place that, you know, has been converted into something like that. Now, there's a lot of old antebellum homes that are around here. You know, you've got the old plantation homes, which we were able to go and investigate the house a couple different times before the owner sold it to another family. And we're hoping to get back in the house, because I'm interested to see if the family that bought it, and they've been in it now probably close to about, oh, I'd say a good 5 months now, maybe. They bought it. They bought it like in the early part of the summer this year. So I'd like to see if they would, you know, if they have been experiencing things in the house since the previous owner has done since left and on it. She was actually a part of the family. She was the original descendants of the family that built the house and lived there for so many years, and it's pretty it dates way pre Civil War on the home.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, it's actually surprising to notice that. I mean, here's one for you. Like, the being a plantation, has anybody ever come across or know of any stories that anybody's ever practiced a hoodoo magic in those areas, or did in the past, or anything that sounded, which call a bit of the curses are connected to it, or are they called the curse connected something? You ever come across anything like that at all?
Well, there was a location that, you know, we kind of suspected it, but it's hard to pull that out. That's something that, you know, when you're dealing, I think here in the South, it's something that's so... that'd be something to be really kept hush-hush.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what makes doing an investigation so hard, especially when you're dealing with something that's got a malevolent entity in it, something I would call demonic, trying to determine what opened that door for that demonic entity to get in there. Because 9 out of 10 times, something has drawn that entity there. has conjured it up, has invited that being in that place. So it's real hard to get to come to those conclusions, especially in you suspect it, but you don't know
now,
for sure.
Now, also, too, you've been doing paranormal investigating. I mean, a lot of people don't know the history of you, but how long have you been doing this?
The actual investigation part, like we're doing now, we have been doing since about 1999. So as far as doing the scientific portions now, we've been involved with it, and I've been involved with paranormal activity since I was 3 years old. And I'm 43 now, so that's over 40 years.
Okay.
You know, having experience of seeing ghosts, hearing them, you know, studying and researching it. You know, I started really getting intrigued and really studying when I was probably about 14, 15 years old because of the experiences I've had. So that's when I really started following some of the Warren's work and really looking into what the religious aspects of it. You know, so my dad was a minister, so I was raised in a Christian home. So logically, you know, I was picking up on a lot of things and looking at it more on a religious aspect. But it wasn't until about 99 I got to say, you know, I'd like to be able to try to capture this. I want people to see what I'm seeing and hear what I'm hearing. And that's when I started really delving into about using equipment and stuff like that. And not just going off of what I'm feeling or seeing or hearing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I wanted to capture it so I could prove it. You know, that's where I really got hard-nosed into it. I was like, I got to prove this. You know, there's one thing to tell your story, which I wrote a book about that time. I wrote a religious book, a Christian book, that was published. And that came out around 2001.
Okay. Okay.
And I said, you know, I said, it's one thing when you can write it down and me telling my story, but how are people going to believe it if I don't have any pictures or any sounds or, you know, I want to be able to show this. So that's when Heather and I had really, we really wanted to show it because of experiences that her and I had, back from about 98 and 99 in this one particular house where we actually had to do an exorcism in that house. And I said, I've got to prove it. You know, nobody's going to believe unless I can show it to them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. You got to be part of it, or if you don't, I mean, yourself, you are experienced what you were shown, wherever place you were at in any kind of location. And you know, actually, as an example, a lot of people don't realize. Sometimes spirits want to show themselves to you because that's considered an honor. You know, you think about it, it's a huge honor when they're coming to you. But some people I've seen that are paranormal investigators or people that are mediums or whatever they want to call themselves in that field, they'll say, well, nothing's here, nothing's active, I guess there's just nothing happening, so it's not haunted. Well, it's not up to us to say if it really is a haunting sometimes. They're the ones that are saying, well, we don't know who we like, so we're not going to answer you. You know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're dealing,
that makes sense?
You're dealing with a human haunt, human spiritual haunt, it's up to that spirit. Do they really want to make themselves known? You can't force them to make themselves known. You just hope that you can talk to them and they'll want to make their presence known and let you know why they're there. Maybe they have a message. Maybe they're trying to come through to somebody or, you know, very many reasons. I always use the analogy that, you know, when you're doing paranormal investigation, it's like going deer hunting. You may or may not see a deer.
Nope.
You may or may not kill a deer. You may go 3 or 4 years and not kill anything. Not even see a deer.
You're going to starve?
Yeah. That trophy bug, you know. Excuse me. Same way with this. You may or may not capture nothing. Now, so far, I think out of, when we were filming for our DVD, the Haunted South DVD, back in 2005, We went so many places. And I would say out of about 10 investigations in that short time frame, I think we had one place that really didn't get anything, but couldn't really say, you know, one way or the other, because it was just a short time frame. We were just there for just a little while. Another one was questionable. We had actually got the EVPs, but really didn't get anything significant as far as photos or video. But we did get a couple of clear EVPs.
Now, you got EVPs.
We went off the experience of what the other people had experienced in the past. You've got to take that in consideration, like you're saying.
Yeah.
You can't just say, okay, well, this place is not haunted because I didn't get anything. Well, you got to keep going back. And eventually, maybe they'll let you catch or something, you know. So.
Well, you know, here we talk about EVPs. Now, those are what we call electronic voice phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most significant one that really goes right in your face, like you'll never forget? Which one do you think that it became one of the most recorded make you think what they're trying to say to you? What was the most important one you've actually listened to?
Well, it has to be this one investigation that we're still an ongoing investigation that we got to go back there in November. A couple of years ago, the very first night we were there, we were in this one particular room and bedroom, and I was at the foot of the bed, and the temperature started going up. It started spiking up. It started getting real hot. And this is wintertime now. I mean, this is getting late fall, winter, or early fall time, not winter, but early. It was early fall. And temperature up in that area gets down to about 50-something degrees. Well, we'd cut all the power off, okay? So it's starting to get cool in the house. So you would expect, you know, cold spots, a lot of cold spots.
Yeah.
Well, it stayed pretty consistent within the house, you know, a baseline. You know, if the temperature dropped, it dropped, you know, a couple degrees. It was dropping, you know, variably throughout the evening. But this one particular time, we were doing an EVP session, and this thing just went, straight, my thermometer just went skyrocketed up. It got up into like 89, 90 degrees. All right, the rest of the house was something like around 62, 63 degrees, I believe. So that was almost a 30-something degree temperature rise. And at one point, I get up and I'm doing these EVP sessions, and I make a statement. I said, look, you know, these people don't want you here. And we're trying to determine if it's something we're doing with a human spirit or demonic. And we start doing a little religious provocation. I command this thing to leave, and we get on. No other recorders picked it up. Just on our video camcorder that we had, our night shot, it picked up an EVP that just bluntly told me, you hear this loud no like that.
So it said no.
It refused. It just did not want to go. And it was, I'd say that was probably one of the ones that just like, wow, it just popped me in the head, you know. It just slapped me right upside the noggin and said, hey, you know, we got something. There's something going on here, and we need to go back. And some other things that happened too, somebody had gotten grabbed and drugged. Someone tried to drag one of the members off the bed.
So do you think there was a murder that took place in this place that you went to?
What?
Do you think a murder took place in the past on this particular location?
There was indications that, you know, definitely that there had been a death, that they thought that someone had been murdered out there. One of the relatives of the original landowner, the original owner owned like thousands of acres. This whole area now is it's a community out there. So, doing some investigation and talking to, you know, some folks, they thought maybe they had that there was someone had been murdered or found dead out there.
Oh,
and they didn't know whether it was
like
God or
healing. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it could be that. That could have opened the door. Again, we get back, you know, had someone done something? It seemed like when everything revolved around when they lit this fireplace. The people had bought the house. in the original house, and they remodeled it. And they built a fire. It got cold, so they built a fire in the bedroom, because the fireplace is in their bedroom. That's when all this activity started taking place. So, you know, we, talking with a client not too long ago, we were talking, I said, man, something happened in that room. Something opened the door. So,
do you think you guys caused that activity to open the door, or that spirit came out on its own?
I'm thinking somebody from way back when, in the past, opened the door.
So somebody else investigated the place then?
I think they did something.
Oh, so you guys are not the first people there then?
Do what?
You're not the first people there that actually investigated the place, or do you think someone who lived there caused it opening?
We're the only ones that had investigated it.
Okay, so it sounds like they were playing with something they didn't understand, possibly a Ouija board?
It could have been that. It could, it wasn't the current clients. The current owners, it wasn't them. They will exclaim up and down and say they had never done anything like that. They did not do anything in the house. I think somebody else has done it prior to them being in the house. Don't know exactly when, what time frame it could have took place, but I believe somebody, opened that door without a doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. And that's kind of what I'm
looking
for. And I've seen things in the house. I picked it up with video camera. We've had different phenomena happen, equipment failure that couldn't be explained, EVPs, things that people being grabbed, and I'm not just talking about a little touch. I'm talking about literally being grabbed, something trying to drag you off the bed. They grabbed one of the client's legs and they were jerking him, scared him to death. he got up and he left out. I'm done with this. I can't. He was all upset because he had not had anything physically happen to him until that point. That's when he realized that something was actually happening. That his spouse was actually experiencing something. And we had another group of investigators to help us because we couldn't go back this one particular time. So I asked them to go and help me out with it because we had so much going on at that particular time. And they went in, and one of the investigators that was there actually got grabbed between the legs. Grabbed him hard. Scared the daylights out of him.
I wonder if you left some trails on.
They were a little skeptical. Anytime you go into an investigation, Derek, you go in with... You want to believe the client, but you go in with skeptic eyes, in a sense.
You know what? I got to tell you this, Jimmy. Somebody here in the chat line is being really cute with you. They said Jimmy is definitely a ghost magnet.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'm pretty much a ghost magnet. I mean, they're around me. I'm normally going to get something. If there's a haunting going on,
here's a question for you. You worked on the base. You're actually military. You're just retired. You're in maneuvers, right?
Yeah, I'm in the military.
Yeah, okay. Now, have you ever experienced any paranormal activity on the base?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you get out of that, do you think?
I've had, different places. I'll tell you the one, I was at a base over in Texas, and there was a young man that had, and I did not know this at the time, that the event occurred. The people, the permanent party people there told me later when I brought it to their attention. They told me the story, and other people had been experiencing things, and they were like, "Oh my God, this guy really is, for real." We were out at this location, and I had a spirit talk to me. It was a young man, and he said, "Hey, over here." And I looked over there, and I'm like, what? What do you want? And it quit talking because some other people started coming up. And so we left, and I went on about my business, and I just played it off. I said, okay, it just got shy. I said, yeah, he got shy and didn't want to talk anymore. Well, when I started talking to the some of the permanent party there, they told me that people had been seeing a spirit of a man going up and down these hallways, and had gotten scared about it, and that the police had been called out there. They thought someone was doing something, blah, blah, blah. Another incident, a young man, military man that was permanent party there, was there by himself. And he was putting some stuff up, and he turned around, and he saw a guy standing there in BDs and the hats that they wear. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. I don't need your help. I've got it. It's okay. And he said, I went to put it back, and he said, I realized I was the only one there. And he said, when I turned back around to look, he was gone. He said, he got in that little, he was in a little go-kart type thing, what they call a gator, a four-wheeler. He got in that thing. He said, I couldn't get back up to my office quick enough. And he described the young gentleman and that he saw the spirit. And come to find out, there had been a young man that he got in one of those Dear John letters from his fiance, split up with him, left him, and he was so depressed about it, he took a shotgun and committed suicide there on the
phone.
And
so his spirit lingers there.
Yeah, it does. He's still there. They actually wanted me to go back and do an investigation and try to communicate with him, try to get him to move on. I tried to get him to move on while I was there, but he doesn't want to. He's happy there. He really liked the military. I don't think he wanted to. He didn't want to leave. He feels at peace at that particular place. I think he watches over them there. And I just basically told him, they just didn't need to be scared. He's not trying to do anybody harm. He's actually looking out for them. He's actually watching over them, in a sense. And now and then he's trying to communicate. He misses beats.
Well, I think that actually does happen. You got people that are, sometimes they committed suicide or have passed through a very traumatic passing or death. And yet, when you're on site and you do paranormal investigating, once in a while I feel that you got someone who's a guardian on that site making sure you don't come to harm.
Sometimes I
feel that, because when you're at a place, you swear to God that, there's one something that may have been bad on one part of the building, but yet there's something good that's protecting you, make sure you don't come to harm.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that sometimes, because you can be in one location, say the second floor, and somebody was murdered, and yet you're on the main floor and somebody passed through a simple passing, but yet they feel that they have to take care of the place or be the guardianship of the house, and yet when you go to that second floor, you feel different, and whether the time frame is different, but yet for some reason they try to make sure you don't come to harm. Does that ever make any sense to you?
I think the spirits have I think they have jobs to do. When we pass, I don't think we just go up there. It's like I tell people, we don't go to heaven and just sit there and play harps. We're not sitting there as angels playing harps. I think we all have jobs, and some of those may be as greeters to bring people back, into the other side. Others are to watch over. Our loved ones are assigned to us, I think. Or they're able to come in and watch over sometimes and consult. They just drop by to let us know, hey, we're still here. We're not really gone. We know you're thinking about us and we're still here. So they try to do little things that will get our attention, and we just overlook it.
Yeah.
It happens to me all the time in this house. There's no doubt I've got enough, the relatives and friends that have passed over. I believe that they've crossed over to the other side, that I think they come back and they're around us. They let
Oh, definitely.
Now, whether it be an EVP over the radio show, or whether it just they'll put a picture down, or they'll movie pictures while we're doing the radio show and bounce it around and get our attention.
I got to tell you this right now. You have a fan club in the chat room. They call themselves the Ghostly Girl Groupies.
They call themselves what?
The Ghostly Girl Groupies. You have a lot of women that are on in the chat room here that wanted to hear you come on, like they want look forward to listen to you being interviewed because they've been following you from APSR back to our show here. So they call themselves the Ghostly Girl Groupies.
Okay.
Sounds like our friend Justin.
Okay.
We're trying to get
Justin's
him a name in the
okay.
chat room.
Yeah, he said he was going to listen tonight. Justin actually helps me with my show.
Yeah.
So, hello,
so
Justin.
You got a huge fan club. I mean, you got to say, think of what, you got to understand one thing, my friend. You got a huge fan club. You are so well known, whether it is just in location, but you're internationally known. And people really think you're fabulous because what they enjoy about you, because your honesty. You don't have to advertise and call yourself Taps or, you know what I mean, talk about. You don't have to try to pretend to be someone that you are. You already know who you are. You don't have to pretend to be, well, this is me. I got my big badge on my chest. Mm-hmm. You're just straightforward, no nonsense, and you find, you make your investigation the way the honesty of it is. If you don't find anything, you just fake. There's nothing here.
Yeah, I mean, that's me. We're not going to try to make something up. I'm not going to do that. You know, as far as the fans out there, you know, yes, we have got some of the best fans out there that anybody could have that have supported us and been there and put up with the equipment failure and the technical issues and. We really appreciate it. Heather and I both appreciate them so very much. And they're the reasons that we do the show. We really enjoy, you know me, I love being a ham. We like to pick at each other and we have fun when we're doing the show. And that's because we want to make it entertaining. We don't want it to be so dull that people go to sleep.
Yeah, you don't want to make it boring. Like, well, that person died yesterday, and now we're trying to investigate this. I like your humor because we really have a lot of fun doing this.
We do. I really enjoy doing it. I really do. And I have missed doing the radio show, I have to say. I did a show myself not too long ago with you last week, in fact, a week before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had a great time. It was like old times. And any time that we're doing a show, we want to get the truth out there, but we want to have fun doing it. You know, I want to make it interesting, and it could just be the sound of my voice. You know, the way my
What times are you on now, Jimmy? Now, basically, what schedule do you have? You even though the radio's back on, you may not be on APSR all the time, but you actually have a friend who's actually being a co-host to your show. And his name is Old Hip. And
yep.
What dates do you actually go on? Like, what is it that
he
is still Tuesday through Thursday? Or
yeah, he's doing it Tuesday through Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. That's 9 to 11 Eastern. He's new at doing it, and he asked if he could stand in for me. And it was good timing. I said, yeah, because I've been thinking about doing something. And some people wouldn't think we had totally gone away while we were working on this TV show. And Old Hill took the mic, but he's still growing. He's having growing pains as far as with equipment and technical stuff. So
yeah.
we basically had to cancel the shows for this week. We couldn't do them because of that. And because of issues on his end. And my purpose of bringing the show wasn't so that I would be the one hosting it every night, because I still got so many things going on, I can't do it. So
yeah.
We just had to cancel the shows this week. I will be personally hosting the show on the 23rd. We actually going to have Bob Larson on. I don't know if you've caught anything on Bob's was a radio. He started out as a radio show host.
Yeah.
And he's Reverend Barb Larson now. He has a ministry and he does exorcisms, and he's been on Discovery Channel. And
now you also too, you got another radio program coming off your station.
And those on our network, we have Shadow Talk Radio that comes on our network.
Yeah.
And we're going to be bringing on some others too. We're trying to provide a way for them to be able to broadcast. We're not going to be.
We're getting pretty close to our closing time, Jimmy. I want to let everybody else know. Next week we're going to have really special another set of special guests coming on. Just like Jimmy, these guys are also paranormal investigators. They are actually just finished doing a documentary called Children of the Grave. Jimmy knows these guys, and
it's
going to be another interview that we're going to be having with these guys on our show next week. So, or not sorry, next week, the week after, I believe. Yeah, sorry, the 23rd. Next week I'll be doing my mediumship, most likely. And anyways, Jimmy, I wish I had this for 2 hours. We can go all night, you and I.
Oh, yeah. We've gone on three hours before.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I started out.
Alex, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh,
and I'd like to thank everyone for listening in. Anybody who wants to listen to Jimmy's show, it's www.apsrradio.com. Those of you who have, any paranormal investigating need to be done, give Jimmy a call. He will come out to you. And he will give you an interview and find out if Wendy can set a schedule with him. Jimmy, it's been fabulous having you on.
Buddy, it was great to be on here, and I appreciate you having me back on your great show.
Okay, thanks a lot, friend. Everyone, in the meantime, in between time, this is Derek White, Sky Cloud, your friendly psychic medium and paranormal investigator. Take care, everyone. Be well. Talk to you later next week. Bye.